Bibles this evening, if you would turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and we'll begin with verse number 1. Heard a message probably 15 or 16 years ago from this passage, and being that I was a teenager and the topic stuck with me, and I've preached this topic to teenagers. Though I've preached the text, I suppose we're always learning, we're always discovering more things in the Word, not only discovering more things in the Word, but discovering more things about ourselves, discovering on a daily basis a greater need for the Word, a greater need for its teachings and its admonishments. So for that reason, it's a little different every time I read it. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1, the part that stuck with me as a young boy was dead flies, obviously. Any message entitled Dead Flies will tend to stick with a young boy. I preached it about 6 years ago from this passage to a group of teenagers at camp, and every one of them, whenever I see them anywhere, they look at me and they go, dead flies. I'm not sure if that's what I want to be remembered by, but nevertheless, they remember the message and they remember the verse, and I guess that's important. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Dead flies cause the ointment. There, first of all, I want to point out that word cause. It's very affirmative. It doesn't say sometimes or could cause, or it's like in the New Testament, when we read that evil communications corrupt good manners, it's not sometimes or too much evil communications corrupt good manners, or occasionally it may work out that way if you don't get around to pulling away from it, but it's just very simple that cause and effect. Cause and effect. We are often wandering around life wondering how we got the effect. And the Bible is cause and effect. Much confusion we carry with ourselves because we do not understand the cause and effect. There's many passages in the Bible, probably tons, that I've never even seen. Cause and effect, and yet I'm living the consequences of them every hour. Every hour. Living the consequence of cause and effect that I've overlooked. Dead flies here likened to folly. And as flies are attracted to, not only attracted to, but prone to stick in the ointment. Apothecary is like a pharmacist, one who mixes up natural remedies. Maris is our resident apothecary, and she's been teaching us to mix up some remedies. But dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. The flies are attracted to it. They're not only attracted to it, but they're prone to stick. The ointment of the apothecary is likened to the one who's in reputation for wisdom and honor. We know that Solomon is the writer here, and he's a king, and so certainly he's thinking somewhat of political figures and those that have some type of position. But scripturally, as believers, New Testament believers, we all have a position, an elevated position. The Bible says that we are all kings and priests in Christ. And so for that reason, we are all, as believers, in reputation for wisdom and honor, or supposed to be in reputation for wisdom and honor. And if we were honest with ourselves as believers and knowing what we know, what we feel we know scripturally, we would consider ourselves a person to be of reputation of wisdom and honor to some degree. Unless, obviously, we had fallen in some way and taken upon ourselves a great amount of dishonor in our lives, most of us would consider ourselves to have some reputation of wisdom and honor. All of you who are saved, you have a sphere of influence in this world. May not be the same as a pastor, but you have a sphere of influence in the world. I am involved with a lot of marketing for the city of Lapeer, and attend some different seminars and things, and study a lot about marketing, and it is said that the average person reaches like 275 people. Effectively reaches 275 people. Just average human being walking around has a sphere of 275 people. So every person that you meet is important because they have a sphere of on average, 275 people. So even if you're pathetic, you have an average reach of 275 people. And we as believers, oftentimes more. You know, there are some people. I was at a seminar not too long ago, and they were asking, you know, how many friends you had on Facebook, and I was pretty proud. I'm like in the 260s or something. I'm like, you know, this is, I think that's pretty good, you know. And somebody's like, I got 1,023. I'm like, oh, man. They're either really bad at picking friends, or, you know, I just friend anybody or whatever. But we have a sphere. So you're in reputation for something. There's a group with which you have a reputation. And in people who are in reputation, flies, which is likened to folly, as it is attracted to the ointment and prone to stick, folly is attracted and prone to stick. It's a problem. Now notice also that these in this passage are dead flies. They have not only been attracted, they have not only stuck, but they've been left there. They've been left. This folly has been allowed to exist. Reading on, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor, so doth a little folly. A little folly. It doesn't take much folly. When we consider folly, in the scriptures, quite often it is the opposite of wisdom. All throughout Proverbs, it is the opposite of wisdom. We could say that folly is a moment that is without wisdom. A moment that is without our better judgment. A moment that is less than righteous. An imperfect moment. A candid moment. You wouldn't necessarily call it horrible. You wouldn't necessarily call it wicked. But it's folly. Pastor preaches much about the condition of the heart, guarding the heart. It is the most important thing that we consider. There's no reason to preach on anything else until the heart of people is right. It'll do no good. It'll be absolutely useless. You could turn over hundreds of thousands of new leaves, and I've done it. You can turn over leaf after leaf after leaf, but if your heart isn't behind something, it'll never happen. New Year's resolution after resolution, it'll never do anything. And so as we consider the heart, perhaps if we were where we should be as Christians, just the idea of guarding the heart should be a very simple concept, but I find it a very difficult one, a very complex one, a very murky one, and I have to become a student of it to try to understand guarding the heart. And as I've become a student of guarding the heart, one of the things that I've found to be a great enemy to guarding the heart is folly. Any moment that lacks thought, any moment that lacks purpose, intent, any moment that lacks wisdom and intent could be classified as folly. I'm not saying that we need to be uptight people and can't joke around. I like to joke around more than anybody. It doesn't mean that we can't relax and enjoy enjoyment and have vacations and things of that nature. Vacation doesn't necessarily equate to folly, though most of the time, or many times, our moments of ease are filled, jam-packed with folly, many times. Doesn't have to be so. We can relax, we can have hobbies, we can have all kinds of things without necessarily having folly. A moment without wisdom, a moment that is less than righteous, a moment that is opposite of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs says much about folly. We could not address all that Proverbs says about folly. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 23, well, let's back up to verse 22 because they go together. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. I tell you, that is the worst place in the world to be. Holden with the cords of his sin. Not in control of your own self is a terrible place to be. There's no worse place. There's no more frustrating place as a believer to be holden with the cords of your sins. To be held by previous moments of indiscretion. I tell you, that is frustrating. There's nothing worse. Verse 23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Now this section of Proverbs are moral virtues and contrary vices. Moral virtues and contrary vices. So We've read the moral virtue is that the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. It is moments past in contemplation and purpose. The opposite of that, which is a vice, and the opposite of any biblical principle is a vice. The opposite of that, but the folly of fools is deceit. Deceives him. The wisdom of a prudent is to understand his way. He wants to know his way. He wants to be in control of his way. But the fool just is filled with folly and he does not consider it. And he is deceived by his folly. If wisdom is the opposite of folly, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we would say that folly has its roots in not fearing God. Think about that. Folly is a moment in which the fear of God has, for whatever reason, left our brain. It is a moment spent without fear of Almighty God. Or it is a moment fearing something else more than God. It may be a casual moment in which we choose some form of entertainment or sin. It may be a moment in which we have to make two very hard choices and we choose the world over God because we're scared of the consequences of the world. But folly has its roots in not fearing God, not considering Him, not all of His sovereignty, all of His power for a moment leaves our mind. Think about that. How many moments have I been led into sin because of all of the power of God has left my mind? All of His supplying power, all of His correcting power, all of those things have left my mind in a moment of folly. I am so prey to folly. How this spirit of folly, a moment of just not, it's simple. Folly is simply a moment of not thinking. Just a moment of not thinking. When I was in high school, not too far away from where I went to school, a couple of boys thought it would be neat to, it was this time of year, and you see scarecrows and things all over the place. They decided to make a dummy and try to suspend it to the bridge, and they dropped it. And they caused a car to get in an accident and die. It's just a moment of folly. Now they're all facing murder charges. They thought they'd decorate a bridge. A moment, just a moment of folly. Think of all the things that have happened in just a moment of folly. Kings have fallen. Countries have been ruined. Testimonies have been lost. Just a moment in which the sovereignty of God has left our minds. All of His power. All of His judging and chastening power. All of His supplying and caring power. When we make a bad decision, a decision that has its roots in folly, it's so easy, it ought to scare us to death. How many days without number have I been absent-minded? I look back upon my youth, literally rolling in folly. Things that I have to bear the consequences of today. Moments of folly, things that I never thought would bring me to the places that I've been. Folly. Our minds are so weak. We're so easily prone to this thing called folly. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 10. Having said all of that, we read the next two verses. A wise man's heart is at his right hand. That means several things. We say that understanding that most people are right-handed. If you're left-handed, just read this verse the opposite way. But we understand this passage in that most people are right-handed. It says a wise man's heart is at his right hand. Anything that's in your right hand has taken its precedence if you're right-handed. Often, nowadays, this is what people's right hands look like. It's the smartphone, you know. This is the right hand. It is what has taken precedence, the right hand. If you're a laborer, if you're working, and your right hand is the tool that needs to be used at that moment. Brother Duane and I were talking about the difficulty of answering phone calls and being in a construction-type job because it's hard. I got tired of jumping off 30-foot ladders to answer my phone, When I was doing it, I went to a Bluetooth, and I hate wearing them, but it saved me so much time on the job site that I could just press that button and keep on working. But whatever's in your right hand is what is being focused on. It is what is being worked on. Not only is it what is being worked on, but it is what is being worked on with the most talent. Whatever happens with my left hand does not happen very well. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. You know, when I sit down and try to eat with a kid on my lap, I try to get them in my left hand because my left hand cannot find my mouth. And if it can, I can't get peas up on a spoon in my left hand. It just doesn't work. And so whatever we do with our right hand that's important. So whatever's in my left hand is what I'm ignoring. I'm ignoring the kid, and I'm trying to feed my face. And this is that passage. A wise man's heart is at his right hand. Every day he's protecting his heart. Every day, every moment, he's protecting his heart from folly and the effects of folly. But a fool's heart is at his left. It's back burner. If he's got time, he deals with it. Oh, that's how I've treated my heart my whole life. I tell you, it'd make the Christian life so difficult to live, leaving your heart on the back burner. It absolutely doesn't work. Notice verse 3. Very grievous to me. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. How much wisdom do we have that we just absolutely do not live by? Our wisdom faileth us. The instruction of my father, the instruction of my pastors, my spiritual guides, instruction of Sunday school lessons, instruction upon instruction. When a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. Is a very sad statement. That he has the equipment to succeed. He has the information to succeed. But his wisdom faileth him. And he saith to everyone that he is a fool. That's what folly will do to you. A moment of folly will make your wisdom fail you. It is a moment in which your wisdom is not consulted. It is a moment in which your wisdom is forgotten, unconsulted, left to the left hand, and not equated into the situation. What an awful, awful effect. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Turn with me to Psalms 38. Any child of God who is honest with themselves can echo all of these same thoughts. Psalm 38, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. I'm drowning. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. A moment without wisdom, a moment of folly. We certainly know some of David's folly, but perhaps that is not what he's lamenting here. We don't know. Because of a moment of folly. Verse 6, I am troubled I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Has sin ever done that to you? It just bring you right down. I go mourning all the day long, as if, almost as though you had lost someone dear to you. Just pain. Sin brings pain to the believer. I'm troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. That's what sin does. Ruins your heart. Ruins your insides. It brings forth a disease inside you that is worse than anything else. And there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me, for the light of mine eyes, it is gone from me. He's losing his spiritual sight because of the disease that's in him that began with a moment of foolishness. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from me, from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Notice, skip down to verse 17, for I'm ready to stop. Because of this moment, he said, I'm just ready to die. Because of a moment of folly, Lord, I'm just ready to die. My sorrow is continually before me. That's all I can see is this issue that I have in my flesh. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sins. Verse 22, make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. What an awful place. That just a moment of not thinking. And many will leave this life having never considered eternity, having never considered the wrath of God, having spent all their days in folly. Their greatest folly will have been never considering the things of this book, never considering eternity. What awful things that folly does to us. Just moments. They seem very innocent, and that our mind may just have a lapse. But it's very serious. The effects are drastic. They ruin the reputation of good people. And not only do they do that, but they are prone to do that. They're prone to be a problem. They're prone to hang around. They're prone to stick. They're prone to stay. Just a moment of indiscretion has gotten so many people, so many leaders, and as we read in this passage, especially those that have a reputation. That's where it sticks. If you think about it, it's very logical. People who are prone to folly and prone to living foolish lives, nobody could care less. Doesn't really matter. But where it causes a problem, where it causes a stench, is in our lives. That's where it causes a stench. That's where it causes an issue. It brings a stench before God. Not the sweet-smelling savor that we read of in other places, of the prayers of the saints, of our songs of thanksgiving, of a life that's lived pleasing to the Lord, but it brings a stench out of our lives. A stench to God, a stench to people around us. How disappointing it is. And certainly, yet, we can certainly understand, because there's been no lack of folly in any of our lives. But it's very hard to get over that. That's why the Bible tells us in the New Testament that a a deacon or a pastor has to be blameless without that kind of a stench. It has to be that way. Doesn't mean that people can't necessarily be members that have committed some of those things that are spoken of as qualifications of pastors and deacons. Doesn't mean that we don't forgive them. But the problem is it causes a stench to the world that they won't let go of. And people have to step aside from certain positions and things of that nature. But that doesn't remove our responsibility to forgive, but it does hang around. Those thoughts, the world does not forgive. And rarely, really, do even Christians forgive. And for that reason, they often can't hold positions. But what a sad case. And it happens so very easily, just a moment of, I just didn't think. How many times have we heard that? I just didn't think. How many times have we said that? I just didn't think. Most of us could trace all of our things to, I just didn't think. I just didn't think that that would affect my kids. I just didn't think that that would affect my life. I just didn't think that would take me this far. I just didn't think. That's the definition of folly. Exactly the definition of it. We'll stop there and have Brother Mark come.